Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 321. The episode we didn't think we were going to do. Here it is, the official podcast for Reddit, the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I'm your host, Chris, and I am dashing at that. With me is Andy, the Sandman, one of our longtime friends in the Slow Lights. Don't forget his channel, Sandman7. Sandman, Slow Lights with Sandman. God, I got to get it right. We'll get that right later, Andy.
Slow Lights!
I was trying jump ahead to the volleyball hair over there. Jeff, the Riz Rizden, how you doing, brother?
I didn't have any time to put product in my hair, so I'm au naturel today.
Well, I was actually going to have a pair of pants as a prop to hold up just to prove that I was pants-free right now. We got a big hire today. Brad Holmes coming in. This is good news, good news. I think we just want to get right into it because we got a lot to talk about. You guys ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, let's get into it. Brad Holmes, Rams college scouting director, hired by a team named the Detroit Lions that we are all familiar with. What a deal. This is what I'm happy with it. And we talked about it in the podcast on Tuesday, Riz. I'm really, really happy about this guy. And one of the things that makes me the happiest is his emotional intelligence and his ability to not have to be the smartest guy in the room. We talk a lot about how pendulums swing so far from one end to the other in these hires. This is actually probably a pretty good swing, right?
Yes, absolutely. The fact that this is a guy who is a consensus builder, not an authoritarian, not a guy who's going to be offended when an underling questions a position that he has. And by the way, that was a recurring theme. Other than Ed Dodds, who I don't know well enough to whether that qualifies for him or not, but the other people that they interviewed for the GM role all kind of fit that bill much more as people who have worked with other people very well in the past, in different organizations and different circumstances and different jobs. This is a reflection on a deliberate move away from the smartest guy in the room syndrome.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy about that. And I think most Lions fans should be very happy about that, because that means that when you have his most famous pick is Aaron Donald, obviously, but let's say you've got a running back that you like at the top of the second round. And you already have 2 second round running backs on the team. You have a veteran who's one of the best in NFL history. Maybe somebody's going to be like, can you maybe think about our value investment here at the running back position? You know, maybe we're doing a little bit too much overkill here. And if anybody did that against Bob Quinn, he was going to bust out that baseball bat from the famous picture and ram it where the sun don't shine.
Ooh.
That's not the way that this guy operates. That's not what Brad Holmes is going to do.
Oh gosh. No, absolutely not. Really quick, I got to call it Ryan Restigen. Thank you so much for the super chat. God, I'm going to call it the Slack chat. He came in with respectful conversations in the Slack. I got all those things together now. And no, it was good. It was good. It winds up okay. Things are all good to go. Good. So thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that very much. I want to hit Sandman. This is a big one. I think this is right up your alley. We got Mike in the chat with Detroit Free Press already hates this. Carlos came out immediately hating this. But they loved
this Matt. This is you, Andy. I'm not touching this.
they loved Matt Patricia. So does that mean that we maybe hit gold here?
I mean, I think Carlos has articles pre-written about every potential draft pick and employee that, you know, talks about how their mother's aunt, didn't pay speeding tickets back in the 60s. You know, like none of that surprises me. None of that surprises me anymore. I do think personally that this hire, regardless of how you feel about Brad Holmes as a GM or whatever, was very well thought out. And we need to applaud the team for spending this amount of time looking.
Not falling to the pressure, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, they brought somebody in to help them find Bob Quinn, and look how that worked out. That felt more like a boys' club thing now.
And we didn't know that at the time either, because it was all new for us, because they'd never done anything like that before. They'd never really gone outside. I mean, I don't remember when they hired Matt Dillon. I don't remember what the timber of the room was, but Martin Mayhew was an internal hire. Yeah, Tim, yeah. Basically. So when they replaced that, you're right. You know, they brought in Ernie, of course. He was a guy that I had utmost respect for what he did building the Browns in the late 80s. And then he did a lot of other things with a lot of other teams. There was no reason to doubt his wisdom at the time. But it turned out that he was very short-sighted and yep. played the boys' club card, like you just said. And we paid for it.
He knew who he wanted, yeah. and we paid the price for it. Now, that could have worked out. It didn't, but you have to applaud the Fords. They have done a very thorough search. I'm sure once they hire a head coach that will be saying the same thing. They've went through everything very thoroughly. They've interviewed tons of people. And I think that if they felt strongly about Holmes, who am I to say anything different at this point? I think, you know, this hire is special in many ways, but I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah. We got Paul Meyer asking. I think he's probably not a local Detroit area folk. Forgive me, but is Detroit Free Press just like a news source in Detroit, or is it something else? It's one of the two newspapers there. Hopefully the one that goes away when they consolidate one. Because I just can't. Look, you guys know me. You know how I'm gonna be respectful. I just think from a marketing perspective, the dumbest thing you can do with what is it, a 225-year-old enterprise, respectful journalistic thing, the Detroit Free Press, turn it into Freep. It's like the Nickelodeon version of a name for a newspaper. It just took away all everything that had been built up, the credibility, the culture, the whole thing of what it was. That was such a dumb move. Whoever did that should never ever work in any kind of role of marketing again. Gah. Ugh. But there are some good people there. I'll say that.
There are some very good people there. People that I respect a whole heck of a lot. Mr. Menares is not one of them.
No. Well, and he you can respect him in a different way, right? He is the what's the guy in wrestling? God, I can't think of the name. The heel. Yeah, the heel. Yeah. He plays the heel 110%.
He does. And there is a place for that. Mm-hmm. But if that's the only thing you've got, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. But that's the nature of the business today. I don't spend my dollar.
Why you like a wrestling heel is because every now and then they'll do something that's really, really cool. That's like, oh, maybe his heart has a little bit of red in it. It's not totally black. Yeah. That's not the angle that they've chosen there. And that's very unfortunate.
Oh, God, what was it? Never mind. I'll stop. I don't know wrestling. Yeah. Wasn't The Rock a heel? Didn't he start off with the Dwayne?
He did.
He started off as a heel. I thought so. All right. Let's see. Riley Dawson, thank you so much. All I know is that Brad Holmes would have taken Donald over Ebron, so he sounds great already. Yeah, 110%, man. Oh, man.
You know, and Jeff already kind of mentioned this briefly, but there's something to be said about a room that has 15 minds in it rather than one. And, yeah. like, the Ebron pick was one of those picks. We've got our new New Orleans offensive coordinator coming in. He's going to need a Jimmy Graham type of guy. Draft Ebron.
Yeah.
That's a short-sighted move that we've seen what kind of dividends can happen when you just take the best player at a position of need and, you know, see what those teams are doing versus teams like the Lions, who are constantly, like Jeff mentioned, taking running backs in the second round once every 2 years. I think it averages out to almost be like once every 2 years or so.
It is.
And it, like,
going back over a decade.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that somebody like Holmes will come in and,
and
Let's not do Ebron picks.
Let's talk about the process a little, and then we'll talk about Holmes, because I think you started it, Riz and Sandman, about how long they took to go through the process and didn't fold to the pressure. People started getting scared that other teams were going to pick our people up. Salah going to the Jets, and I'm just using a head coach as an example. I know this is GM, so don't freak out in the chat, folks. But him go to the Jets a second time. We lost him. Why did we sign him when he was in the building, right? People freaking out. This is an organization that's doing a good job with a search, taking their time, and they're owning this. And I think, you know, people talk about the quality of the job and how good of a landing place Detroit is. The way they ran this is, I think, one of the things that elevated Detroit in the minds of the people that could work here and may consider working here. And I think, you know, I don't know this for sure. I wasn't there. We talked about the Canary Trap, Riz, and how really everything is speculation unless you're in the room. But this was a matchmaking session, I think, between with Chris Spielman, Rod Wood, Sheila Ford Hamp, Barry Sanders, all working together, though, to find, you know, you sit down in an interview and you're asking Robert Saleh, who would you like to work with as a GM? Why would you like to work with that person? What do they bring to the party? And understand how their philosophies work together so that we don't wind up with this boys club, as Sandman said, with Patricia and Quinn, but we have people that can work together. I mean, I think about what Amy Trask said about hiring people. You can hire a coach first and bring a GM later, as long as they can work together. You get the best guys, and then they're adults. They should be able to work together, but I think they worked in this process to make sure that they could get folks that work together. I would expect a coach hire to become very, very quickly, because I think that they've made their decision on both at the same time. It's just that Holmes is the first kind of domino to drop here.
That wouldn't surprise me at all if we hear a coach announced tomorrow. I don't know that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. As I told Chris last night, when I had him cut the Brad Holmes portion of the video out of what we recorded on Tuesday, because I had an inkling that something was going to happen. I have a pretty good idea of who it's going to be, but I don't know, and I won't speculate on that. But there are whispers, and I don't know whether to trust them or not, so I'll just let it be. But I have pre-written two of them for Lions Wire, and I will let you know who I pre-wrote after the process is done.
And well, no, because it'll be posted 2 seconds after the announcement's made.
that's very true. I got in the habit of doing that when the Browns were making changes every 9 months, and it served me very well.
That's right. Watch the Detroit Lions podcast YouTube channel at 6 a.m. to see what comes out, and you might find out what Riz asked us to cut up. Good fun. No, that was great stuff, and it was a good little thing. It was fun to do, Riz.
I appreciate a lot of people have sent good feedback about that, so I like that, and that's something, Chris, you and I talked about. It's something that we're going to try to do a little bit more of. If there's something that's poignant that comes out of an hour long show that's, you know, 2.5 minutes that you want to watch like that.
If we can get two and a half,
we're going to try to do more of that kind of stuff.
If we can get 2.5 good minutes together out of an hour, boy, are we?
Hell yeah, man, that's a record for us.
unexpected jewels. All right, so we talk about the process, and it is this kind of arranged marriage thing. I like how they did it. Not going outside the Chris Spielman thing, though. A lot of the conversation around this, you haven't heard Rod Wood's name. Barry Sanders was interviewed yesterday, and I forget where. McAfee did it. I had an interview with him. Never mentioned Rod Wood once. Never mentioned Rod Wood a single time in that interview. Tells me Rod is kind of letting the process. He's taking maybe more of a patriarchal role in the process than a kind of hands-on, and it feels a lot like this is Chris Spielman's his ball of wax to play with. Mm-hmm. Sandman, what do you think? Does that give you pause, or does that give you more hope for the hire, having Spielman at the helm?
I think anytime you have a person of power that's willing to admit that other people know more than them, I think we're doing good. And I think that takes a strong person to do something like that.
Yeah,
and so for Rod Wood to take a step back is, you know, an indicator of that. I think Chris Spielman definitely was brought in to bring his hands into the mix and figure out who he thinks the Lions should bring in for a Lions culture. And I think if Rod Wood did what he did last time, which he was much more involved with the hiring of Bob Quinn and with the hiring of everybody else. Not to say, you know, he was the one that made the final decision, but he was definitely in all the meetings. And, you know, it was basically him and Martha were the two people that had say in those rooms. I think it's important. I think, you know, when they first came out and said that Chris Spielman was coming in and he was going to assist with this, I think the description that they had for his job role was perfect. He's here to be Rod Wood's right-hand man with football knowledge.
Yep.
He's an extension of Rod Wood. And if Rod Wood trusts him in that way, then, you know, we may start to see some of the benefits of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think he does trust him in that way. Riz, let's really quick, just before we get into kind of Holmes as a person and kind of his expertise. Well, let's, and I think this will lead into Holmes, the conversation about this kind of teamwork effort about putting this together and putting these people together. It very much wasn't teamwork before. We talked a little bit about the emotional IQ of Brad Holmes. Seeing Chris Spielman and him being invested and him exhibiting some of that, but still taking a leadership role, Rod Wood kind of feeling that, this feels like this may be, if this plays out through the organization, this may be a real healthy way from the water boy through the players all the way through management to communicate their needs and not hit a wall. And I feel like when you know what the other party really needs or wants, you are better for it as an organization.
It seems like there's a definite respect for the broader thought going on. You know, they're not just tied into doing one specific thing. And I think that's a change. And I've seen that in other organizations that I've covered. I saw that change very clearly in Cleveland a year ago when they hired Andrew Berry and brought in Kevin Stefanski first and brought in Andrew Berry, but he'd already been there. So it wasn't like they were bringing in somebody new. The ability to collaborate but have independent thought within the collaboration and to have all those different thoughts respected, even if it's crazy. Like maybe somebody in the room now is going to be encouraging, like, hey, let's trade up to number two. Let's take Justin Fields. That's our guy because I feel that strongly about it. And it won't be a yes or no. It'll be like, well, tell me why you think that. You know, what are the ramifications of doing that? How much are we sacrificing from elsewhere? Do we have enough assets to cover if we make that move up that we can, you know, fill those other holes? And I don't think that's something that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia would have done. I don't think that's something that Martin Mayhew would have done. I think that was one of his faltering points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think that's definitely the way the Rams have worked. That's the way the Seahawks have operated. I know a lot of people were excited about the John Schneider, who was never available. It was a complete BS thing the entire time.
He was just getting a raise.
People got excited about it. That's what they do. If you look at what the Saints have done with Terry Fontenot and Jeff Ireland, who I thought was going to be a more prominent candidate in the process for the Lions than he was, it turns out. But you know, that's what they've done. In Carolina has just hired, and his name escapes me, but he's coming from Seattle, and that he's bringing that in where they have Matt Rhule as their coach already, and he's got more power than a lot of rookie head coaches normally get. And I think that this has brought in to sort of, you know, bring him into that mindset as well of like, okay, we like what you're doing, but maybe you need a little bit more guidance and maybe we can be respectfully talking about that. And I hope that's what's set up here. I think the way you described it between Spielman and Rod Wood, and I also think that Sheila was much more involved in this search, specifically in the GM side than I think a lot of people would expect. And I think that's a positive thing, by the way. I think having an owner who is invested in the wins and losses, and not to say that Martha wasn't, but I think that Sheila, you know, she talks about all the time about how she was a tennis player and how she was a bad loser. If you know people like that, you know that that doesn't go away as you get older.
Nope.
It just manifests itself and you start throwing cards at the people across the table from you when you lose in euchre, when they go alone and you have a loner of your own.
Oh my God. This is
it's very Michigan podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going alone. I mean, is that even really like a real euchre rule? Is that one of the table rules that we set up? God.
I don't know. My family plays it that way.
Yeah. That's how we do it too. Okay. That's great. I have it. That's a reference. That's one thing, Riz, I love you for is your references. let me pull in just a couple of the guys in the super chat. Were we close on Dodds, or was that a pipe dream, Riz?
He was a very serious candidate. I think they liked Holmes more. And I think that his Dodds, from what I know of him, is a very intense guy. That came across in the video. We referenced it Tuesday night when we did the podcast about the his enmity towards the wild card banner in Indianapolis hanging from the rafters, which I think is a great move on his part, by the way. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, I don't understand how an organization like the Lions has so many retired numbers. That bothers me. It bothers me. My basketball team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, have the third most amount of retired jerseys of any franchise. They've won one title in 55 years. That bothers me too.
if you can't hang a title banner, you got to hang something up in them empty rafters.
Exactly. It's just stupid. I think his intensity in that. And I think the fact that he has bounced around a little bit, I think that, you know, he came from Seattle, went to Indianapolis. They have done very, very well under him. He did a very good job in both sports. I think the personality fit was more important here. And I think that's one of the reasons, one of the big reasons why Brad Holmes is, they just clicked with him better. Yeah. I don't think it was a negative against Dodds at all. It is interesting that he is not going to get a job anywhere else. It looks like he did interview with the Panthers. Withdrew consideration for that. He did interview with the Falcons. He did not take an interview request with Washington. So that sort of tells you that he was being really picky too. And he knows that his time will come, I think. Yep. And maybe it'll come in Indianapolis soon. Who knows?
So we got another insider. This guy's I don't want to give away Kevin's name, but in the super chat, Dodds was a secret agent scouting out the Lions for the Colts Stafford trade possibilities. You didn't hear this from me. There you go. So he was working.
Weirder things have happened.
It is the NFL. All right.
Adam Gase got hired again by a team that had just played his old team. I don't know how that happened. That's the Jets for you.
Yeah, that's the. Okay, I want to talk about Brad Holmes as a person, an evaluator, a talent. Aaron Donald. Oh, everybody hits, and even a blind squirrel gets a nut once in a while. But we touched on this on Tuesday, and I think this is really, really, really important, especially with the Lions' position this year with only 5 draft picks. He's known as a guy that can trade away those high round picks, turn them into more picks, and just hit on all those lower picks. This is huge for a team that needs talent and it doesn't have the picks to get it. Sam, and why are we excited about how he's going to run the draft this year?
The most exciting thing about Brad Holmes to me is that he's a 540 degree change from Bob Quinn.
540, that's
all the way in another half. Got it.
That's the new 180 is not enough. You got to spin him a couple more times.
That's the new Xbox, right?
But we're talking about a guy who has spent his entire time doing scouting, which Bob Quinn never scouted. Bob Quinn was never anywhere around that.
He was a pro scout. He was not in the college scouting. Yeah,
pro personnel. Yep. And we didn't even get to see any of the reaps of that, really, outside of Marvin Jones. But what excites me is that he's shown the ability, like you said, Chris, to find talent later in the draft, not stick himself by only picking players that fit his team's scheme. He's not afraid to take guys that maybe are a little bit off the beaten path. I think there's a lot of value to that. And I think one of the other benefits that he's going to bring in, and you know, the Lions kind of mentioned it, that they were looking for a leader of men mm-hmm. at their coaching position. I'm not so sure that didn't also fall into the GM position.
Sure. Yeah.
Brad Holmes is going to lead a scouting department, that he's going to have firm and direct ideas about who they're looking for, what they're looking for, and isn't going to shoot down ideas like Bob Quinn did. Isn't going to send scouts places and then just ignore what they have to say. And I think that something like that just has to be applauded, and you know, we have to be excited to see what somebody can do like Brad Holmes.
This guy worked for 4 years without a first round pick. They think about that. Now, Rizzo
and they still got talent in there too.
They're in the playoffs. There they are, sitting in the playoffs, and here playing. We are. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, they're still playing with a quarterback with a broken thumb, and they beat Seattle.
So they gave away picks to get that quarterback, right? And that's where I wanted to point. I want to point this, that's what started their run of not having first round picks is getting Jared Goff, right? Now I want to ask you, Riz. I don't feel like we have the ability to kind of trade up this year to get a quarterback. I feel like Matthew Stafford's in this year, but I feel like next year or the year after, we have a guy here who's probably going to work some picks right now. He's probably going to make some trades, maybe trade away that first pick. And I'm pure speculation, right? We hired him today. There's not a lot to work with here, but say you trade away the first pick, you get yourself a couple picks this year, maybe one next year. You start getting into a position where next year you could trade some of those picks away, get yourself your replacement in a year or 2 years for Matthew Stafford, and have the talent already there. As crazy as this sounds and though this team looks, Matthew Stafford could play out the last 2 years of his contract, and you could start fresh with your guy at the top of the draft and not be murdering yourself and have a dearth of talent everywhere else. What do you think? Is this a plausible? Is this me just pipe dreaming or something else in a pipe?
It's broad thinking anyways. I'll give you that.
There's a lighter.
They have to know. And I'm sure that one of the discussions that they had in their interview was what do you feel about Matthew Stafford? Is he going to play in 2021 and then be gone? Or are you comfortable building around him until 2025, 2026, which is when Holmes' contract expires. It goes through the 2026 season. We don't know the answer to that yet. I have a feeling that Stafford probably knows it. He's obviously not going to say because he's that's just who he is.
He's at Boyne Mountain right now.
Right.
he's busy.
I think that's going to weigh into the head coaching thing now. I think Holmes has a definite thought on where that's going to go. I think the head coach is going to have synergy with that. You can't have the disparate sides there. You can't have a coach who wants to build around Matthew Stafford or a coach who's like, I can't win with that guy. He's never won before. Get him out of here. They're going to have the same mindset on that. I don't think that's something where they can be really collaborative. But planning for the future, yeah, that's very important. That's when he went through the Rams when what they were lacking was a quarterback. He was there from the transition from Kurt Warner to Mark Bulger to Jeff Smoker for a brief time. Then they had Case Keenum, and they had a bunch of other just rando dudes. And they went all in on Goff. And Goff is not as good as Matthew Stafford. And that team got to a Super Bowl and is still playing now with a lesser quarterback, which leads me to believe that he is also a guy who can see that maybe we can build a really good team around a good, not great quarterback. And I think that's probably where most people in the NFL view Matthew Stafford is that he's really good, but he's not a guy that can win on his own like Aaron Rodgers, like Patrick Mahomes, even though they're not doing that now. They have shown that ability to do that. If you get the point there, Deshaun Watson is close to that status, although the way that the Texans organization is imploding, that's really going to be tested.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got to have an idea there. And maybe that's his path. It's like, okay, you know what? How did I win with Goff? Well, I had a monster defense. I had playmakers. I had impact talent. The number one thing that I think this team lacks is impact talent on both sides of the football. Matthew Stafford can be that. He needs guys as weaponry who can be it. DeAndre Swift, maybe he will be that. He showed some good signs. He was better than I thought he'd be as a rookie, quite honestly, and I'm happy to take the L on that. But defensively, Trey Flowers is a great football player. He's great. He's not a difference maker. Darius Slay, for as erratic as he was a difference maker. He could make the big play. The moment was never too big for Darius Slay. It ironically was in Philadelphia, but when he was in Detroit, it was there for him. I'll go to the Browns for a second. Denzel Ward, not the best cornerback in the league, but in a big game, that dude's money. They got Miles freaking Garrett, who can make an impact like that. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Landry, not a great wide receiver. He's not better than Kenny Galladay, but he's a guy who steps up in big games and makes big plays when they need it. The Lions don't have that yet, and I think that's if Holmes wants to build around Stafford, that's going to be his course of action, is to find those, as our friend Kevin would say, get some dudes, man.
There you go. Let me ask you, I'm going to hit this. I'm going to hit Psychedelic Monk. Thank you very, very much for the super chat. Lions made a good choice. It'll take time, but it's a first good step. Absolutely. I want to get to something that Mike Hodges said, too. And I think this is a really, really good point. Coaching. What are we going to do with those picks and players? And I think that's a key point here. I want to start out by asking you, and this is just your stem. You can run with it from here. What do you think the future of Bev is? What about Darrell Bevell? Does he see any kind of role in this team? OC, HC, what do you think?
I am really hoping that Pittsburgh hires him as their offensive coordinator, honestly. I think a clean break is probably the best way to go there. Yep. And that's not a reflection on Darrell Bevell and his performance in Detroit. I don't like having legacy coaches like that. I think it's very tough to have a new regime come in and you have a guy who was just in charge there last year. I don't know how that power dynamic would work. I don't know Darrell Bevell well enough to know that if he would make that work. So I kind of hope that he's gone. I really hope he's not the head coach. That would be, for me, probably the worst choice they can make as a head coach would be bringing Darrell Bevell back as that.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
But I know there are people who see it the exact opposite way. They're like, oh, the continuity is great. He did things. Even though he only won one game, there was a tangible difference in the Lions under Darrell Bevell than there was under Matt Patricia, and maybe he deserves a chance to do that. I'm not of that mindset, but I respect that.
Yep. Will Smith is of that mindset. He says ditto. Sam, man, what are you thinking since Risden's biting his tongue over there and turning his mouth into hamburger, won't tell us. What do you think about head coach candidates? Where's your head leading right now? What are you looking at?
You know, I never really like to stick my name into this, you know, hat. But
I didn't think he was going with name.
I could do a really good job if they wanted to hire me up. But... you know, at this point, I kind of just have to let the process happen. I wouldn't be shocked if it's a candidate that's a little, you know, that's not one of the top guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that fits what we're attempting to do. And I think, you know, it's not a perfect example, but when you have a team like what Caldwell built, whether you liked him as a coach or not, the culture he built was fantastic. But he didn't have backing there.
Yep.
It stopped at Caldwell. It didn't go above Caldwell. And that was a problem. That was a problem. That's why Martin Mayhew got fired. That's why Bob Quinn fired Caldwell. I would expect the Lions to, in the process of interviewing all these GMs, to ask the GMs, who would your guy be? If we hired you today, who would your guy be? And I think that they would use that information to get a guy that not only fits Brad Holmes and what his plans for this team are, but somebody that will fit the new Lions culture that Chris Spielman and Sheila are attempting to bring in. And sure. I think that no matter who they choose, if he's a culture fit, I think that we'll see finally, for the first time maybe ever, a team that looks cohesive from the top down.
Yeah.
And that's something we've never seen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Let me go out a little bit of a limb here, because you guys know I'm not one normally to climb a tree, but here we go. I don't think the fact that we have a guy who's not been a GM precludes us from getting a head coach that hasn't been a head coach before. I don't think just because we hired a GM that is first time actually in the GM role means we have to hire like a Marvin Lewis. I think Robert Sala, I think Arthur Smith, Dan Campbell, I think even Staley, I think all these guys are in the mix and possibilities at the head coach position. And I kind of oddly am still in love with the idea of a young, relatable head coach who's got more of an open mind and it will be communicative rather than somebody completely set in their ways that won't talk. I'm still locked in on Wade Phillips for my defensive coordinator. Check his tweets.
And by the way, he has history with Holmes.
Yeah.
And he was with the Rams.
And if you
Brandon Staley, who is the guy that you just alluded to, is the Rams' young defensive coordinator, who cannot be interviewed yet because his team is still playing and they have not, nobody's asked for permission to interview him yet. If they beat Green Bay, that sort of puts that on ice for a little bit. So if you're looking as to who to root for this weekend, if you like Brandon Staley, you probably want the Packers to win as much as you don't want to root for Green Bay. Sorry.
Can we get a tie? Does that help us at all?
Yeah. Staley comes from that. Arthur Smith is a guy who would fit that bill.
Yep.
We talked about him a little bit the other night. He is an interesting guy in that he has maximized the talent that he's been given in Tennessee. He's got a lot of talent there,
right?
But he has been,
he hasn't always,
he's used it very effectively. Mm-hmm. As I pointed out the other night, and I didn't realize that it wasn't public knowledge that he was the son of the founder of FedEx. His background with that, growing up, he saw things from a different side and perspective of things. If that's a very results-driven business, where if you're not getting instant results on something, it can be catastrophic. And I think that breeds a certain level of pragmatism. I don't know. Maybe I'm wishful thinking. I think he's a very serious candidate. I think Staley, if he wants to be a candidate, will be a very serious candidate. I still want Marvin Lewis. I've smoked that pipe many times. I'll let other people.
You might want to say something a little phrase that a little differently. I'm turning that into a drop. There is no.
I am not immune to Marvin's faults. I'm not immune to Brad Holmes. There are serious questions I have about Brad Holmes being the general manager. Some of those will hopefully get assuaged as we find out who's hired around him. There damn well better be a football director of football ops who's done it before in this building by next week. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm going to start to worry a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do have concerns about Brad Holmes only ever working for one other organization. Mm-hmm. One of the appeals that I had for Ed Dodds was he saw it in Seattle. He saw what worked and what didn't. He went to Indianapolis under a completely different thing. That's the Chris Ballard. That's the Andy Reid tree. And he saw how that worked. And he can take from both of those things. I like that concept. I am a little worried that he's only going to see things the way the Rams have done them. Now, he was there an awful long time and was through different regimes. So he's seen what worked and what didn't work. But just in while he moved with the team from St. Louis to Los Angeles. That is a concern. And I don't think that's something that gets brought up enough, honestly.
Yeah.
I really hope it's an experienced coach. I really do. But I'm open-minded. I'm not going to rule it out. And I'll bring this up again because I brought this up the other night. Tuesday was the 1 year anniversary of the Browns hiring Kevin Stefanski. And one of the Twitter gadflies of Cleveland sports ran a poll on that day. 57% of the people who responded of over 15,000 hated the hiring of Kevin Stefanski. He's still coaching now in Cleveland in the divisional round. Mm-hmm. Be very careful about overreacting to a hire one way or the other.
Yep. Now I'm gonna go back where I was a little bit, and I'm talking about the young coach being okay, because if you get the right coordinators in place, I think that's the piece. We watched Wade Phillips turn around a Rams defense that was not good, and Staley took it to the next level. I'm not gonna diminish that at all, but that's exactly where the Lions are defensively right now, and a young coach gets propped up by experienced coordinators. I like the idea right now of that kind of open communication style up and down the ladder. I'm not locked in on a young coach. I'm not against Marvin Lewis as an option. I just don't think that we're locked in to a super experienced coach here compared to something else. So this is going to be interesting to see how they play it, and I think it's going to say a lot about what this team thinks about. No matter what, don't overreact, because if you think you're going to overreact, you got to go over to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com right away, because
that's a segue, ladies and gentlemen.
You've got pain, you've got anxiety, or you've got insomnia going on. And if you go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com, you can get the creams to help the muscle pain. I used some on my neck today while I was working. They also have the regular line of CBD to take care of, like I said, pain, insomnia, or anxiety. That's the other one. I don't have that. thanks to this. And then I want to tell you guys, though, the chill line is something different. The chill line, the one that's sitting behind Sandman there and the one that I got right here, this is going to make you feel like you were interacting with the plant from which it came, right? The other stuff, you just take care of those issues and you don't feel different. You can go drive a high-low or whatever. That chill line, you will melt into your couch for a couple hours. Don't eat one and say, hey, I don't feel anything in 20 minutes. Eat another. You're going to lose 8 hours. Okay. It's good stuff. Very, very relaxing. It'll help you sleep for sure. Stage four sleep. Go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Get yourself set up. They got, if you use the keyword or the coupon code Lions, you get 55% off every purchase. cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Okay. Thank you guys for letting me squeeze that in. Okay. I want to talk a little bit also about one of the things. I want to go back to the process. So we talked about Bevel here. One of the things I liked about how they ran the process was when they interviewed Bevel, he was in the next room over, and he did it via Zoom because they wanted consistency in the interviews. That's really cool. I mean, that to me is really, really cool. It probably stunk to be him and not be able to get the benefit of being there, but they did everything they could to evaluate things as on as fair a playing field as possible. And I think that's how you really find how the cream rises to the top.
Do you think Bob Quinn would have done that?
Oh, no.
Think Ernie Accorsi would have done that?
No, not at all. Y'all rock like 80s hair metal, and I'm inspired by the sincerity of Riz's hair. Also, hey, Andy, how you doing? Thanks, Matt, for the super chat. All right.
I was rocking with Dockin today. I'm
not gonna lie. Rocking it out with the Dockin out. I'm much like you, Sam Ann, about not picking a name for head coach right now. There's a couple of folks that I'd be happy with. What I'm really excited about is they're all really available. Everyone was freaking about how long it was taking us to go through this process. And yet here we are. The Jags got their the Jags got their talent, and they're moving forward with that. They didn't dip into our bottle or our bucket. No one's dipped into our bucket in their hires right now. I'm feeling good about this process. I really am. And I'm also feeling really good about these people being available. Tells me the Lions maybe are a lot better place to land than we were talking about or thinking a lot earlier.
It is interesting that there hasn't been a lot of coaching hires just in general. You know, Houston's still open. Atlanta's still open. Those jobs were open before Detroit's were. Mm-hmm. They're not filled yet either. The Jets, they knew they were firing Adam Gase for a long time. The Eagles just came open. They don't have a real strong contender for who that's going to be. I have a pretty good idea of who it's going to be, but they don't have that settled yet. It seems like as a league, they're much more not rushing into things, because that's how you wind up with Adam Gase as your coach. That's how you wind up, pigeonholing yourself with Hugh Jackson again. These are bad decisions. They're made rushed like that. I think the whole league and maybe some of it is to deal with the uncertainty of, the interview process. You're not greeting these people face to face. They can't really. It is different doing it over Zoom. Like if we were all in a room right now, if we were sitting in Sam Ann's living room, this would be a different conversation.
Remember how we did it at Senior Bowl when it was the three of us hanging out last year? How different it was than doing it via the conference call thing.
There is something that's tangibly different about that, and I wonder if that factors into it too. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. All right. I want you guys to hit the like button out there. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Thank you, everybody, for doing all that stuff. Also, I'm going to ask you a question for down in the comments. Who is your choice for head coach? And not just a name. Tell us why. Tell us what that person brings to the head coaching position. And we'll keep chatting and interacting with you guys after the show. There's a lot still to go. I would look for a coach to come soon. I would look for a VP pro football to roll in. What else are we looking for? Coordinators. Wade Phillips. He'll be named right after the coach. You guys know I've locked it on that, right? I mean, and offensive coordinator.
Marvin Lewis could technically be the defensive coordinator too. He did build the Ravens 2000 defense. Just saying. Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. I actually wouldn't mind that at all. Even a little bit, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. Yeah.
One guy to keep an eye on is if he winds up being available is Steve Spagnuolo, who worked very closely with Holmes when they were both with the Rams organization.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's
just a name to throw out there. Yeah. And he is not a head coaching candidate. He should never be a head coaching candidate. he has the vibrancy of a stale blueberry bagel, but he's a very good defensive mind.
This is what Riz. This is what elevates Riz above everybody. The suddenness of a refrigerator, the vibrance of a stale blueberry bagel. That's great. I love it. One guy we haven't talked about much. I want to just quick roll this out here. Todd Bowles. Any thoughts there from you guys?
He should be a legitimate candidate, and I am quite honestly surprised that he is not already the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. He did a great job there as their interim coach, better than Daryl Bevel did in Detroit. And the players loved him. The players wanted him. Their uncertainty could be the Lions' gain there. I know people that worked directly under him when he was with the Buccaneers as their head coach. They liked him a lot. They felt that he was stacked against a general manager who didn't necessarily respect him all that well, and they made some colossally bad moves. And I think that he's interviewing tomorrow. He's interviewing Friday. He's a guy.
Sam, he's cracking me up.
he's a guy.
This discussion in my living room. Yeah.
He absolutely. If that's your living room, I want to come over. You look like a smoothie king too. Damn it.
I've got it all, Jeff. I've got it all.
Coming over. You can get the fish tank in the back like Jerry Jones. I'll see you some little dryers in the back. I'm going real obscure there. Sorry. But I hope that Todd Bowles gets serious consideration. And I would be very excited if he was the hire. I would.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Good stuff. Good job, Riz, not giving anything away under intense scrutiny and pressure.
Hey, I don't know what's going on.
I know, but you got two articles written. I've been trying to slide very slyly and get something out of you, and you're just too good. And
as I have always said, you will know the difference between when I'm telling you something and when I'm telling you something.
You got nothing to say.
And right now, I'm telling you, I don't know who's going to be the head coach. I had a good idea that it was going to be Brad Holmes as of about Tuesday afternoon, but I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I got lucky with the guests and related that to you. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm not this wizard. I'm not this plugged in insider. I haven't been in Allen Park since the pandemic started.
Yeah. It's our insider stuff now is a lot less just because people are separated and it's so much more difficult and you can't get, you know, I remember talking to Justin. One of the things is he's thinking of an article. He used to go and be able to sit down and talk to a player. Justin Rogers, sorry, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
He would sit down and interview a player in the locker room or have some one-on-one time and hit him. And it would help fill out what he was thinking in the article that he was going to write. Now everything's via Zoom. So when he starts asking those questions, everybody hears it. Everybody has the article. It's all the same kind of stuff. That's a little bit about why the coverage from training camp was so unified and homogenous, right? And what I think led a lot of people astray, because there's a lot of misses there. Not an indictment of the people writing, but just the situation that they were in, right? So the same thing with the press, the same thing with other people. You're just not able to see, talk to, and interact with those folks on an individual basis. You have to have some really, really good friendships, connections, and be texting these folks every day to get this kind of information. It's not as easy as it used to be.
No, it really isn't. And trusting those relationships, and this is one of the areas why when you're in a position like mine or Justin Rogers or Dave Burkett, that you don't burn your sources.
Which is because a great time for a canary trap. Once,
they ain't picking, they aren't, yeah. They're not responding to that text from the 616 from me anymore if I do that.
and this is why this is the time, if you're a team going to do a canary trap, this is the time to do it.
Yes.
Get the mouthy people out, and you got yourself a nice, clean little organization because they're easy to catch right now. There you go. All right. All right. With that, we're going to call it. Thank you, everybody. Again, cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com, amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. If you're going to go do the Amazon shopping experience, take a little bit of money out of Bezos' pocket, and you can share it with us so we can keep doing this great stuff. And also, if you want any Lions merch, gear, any of the good stuff, or any, you know, Red Wings, any of that stuff, fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. If you want to learn how to do great backgrounds, go to Sandman7773 on Twitter. Also, Jeff Risden on Twitter. Don't miss those guys. They are awesome. All right, with that, we're going to call it a show. Thank you, everybody. Use the comments in the subreddit. Give us your feedback. And also on Patreon, join the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. I have to tell you, great people in there. And you want to get treated like a human being and have great, great value, be valued like a human being. Look, I mean, that seems like a low bar, but you go try to chat on the internet about anywhere else, you're not getting that. Patreon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, as little as $1 a month donation there will get you into the Slack chat and you will enjoy. Thank you all for doing that. Also follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast. You see us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can show up in your little box automagically. Right? Just your little thing that plays the music. I don't know what you're thinking. All right. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time with the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we are your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.